Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today.
Coming up on NBA Today, it's Halloween, and the Lakers finally got their first win of the season. Hear what Russell Westbrook had to say about his new role. Plus, there's only one undefeated team left in the league, but are they not getting enough love? We dive into how scary the Bucks are. And CJ McCollum and Trey Murphy III are in the studio. They're in the building. We break down the Pelicans' hot start to the season. All that and more on a very, very spooky Halloween holiday. Welcome to NBA Today, and also happy Halloween. I mean, no costumes here in studio for now. Hint, hint. Wink,
oh,
wink.
Gosh.
I'm Shanae Ogumike here with Ramona Shelbird and our boy Richard Jefferson. You did inspire my Halloween costume, by the way, Richard.
Okay. I've been inspiring
my
people
tease.
My entire life.
Oh, gosh. Let's segue. And Pelican star CJ McCollum and Trey Murphy III will also stop by. It's going to be so lit, y'all. So much to discuss around the association, but we have to start right here in L.A. where the Lakers won last night. This is not a drill. Roll the highlight, Director Kathy. Oh, wow. LeBron and the Lakers hosting the Nuggets on Sunday, looking to avoid an 0-6 start. And Richard, Russell Westbrook had the energy going.
Yeah, he had that energy. And that's what, look, the Lakers needed an energy injection. That's what they need. Their defense has already been elite, but their defense hasn't been turning into offense. And look, Russ did such a great job, and we can't compliment him enough on how he helped lead this team. But man, Lonnie Walker with the big three there. You could just see the energy. You could see the joy on their face.
Finally, fourth quarter here. LeBron, watch this play. This sort of sums up exactly what Russ has been bringing the last two games. AD active on the boards, but this is important because he's a little cringing. LeBron misses.
Yeah, and I love it. Look, we're going to talk more about this later in the show. And look, this is tough. We know he is fighting through, but this is what it meant. If you want to play all 82, this is what the type of things that it takes.
But he's like, let me stay in the game. And this is the play exactly I'm talking about. Bullet pass. Here's a miss. Brody with the O board. He's like, pause. I got this. I mean,
down.
I was a little surprised.
Let's slow down. Let's play under control. There we go.
Westbrook. I mean, look, his hand. Did you notice the fans were like embracing his energy tonight?
Yeah.
Look. What did we say last week? It's okay to take that shot, but go to the rim.
Yeah.
Don't pull up.
Congratulations, Darvin Ham.
First win.
And you gotta love exactly the energy that they showed. This was a big moment for him. They've been through persevering through the start of the season, and you have to be super impressed with how they won it. Lakers win 121-110.
No, like I mentioned before, we had many conversations about sacrificing and understanding what that looks like for me. And like I've mentioned since day one, whatever is needed for me to be able to help the team win, you know, that's what I'll do. And I'll continue doing that as the season goes along.
Tonight he was just looked more and more comfortable in the role that, you know, he's been implemented in. And, you know, we needed all 32 sensational minutes that he had. So, he's big time.
Like you say, to be a player of his caliber and ask to come off the bench, that's truly a guy who doing whatever the team asks, you know, to get a win, sacrifice, you know, his starting position for the betterment of the team. And, you know, he's flourished in that role. That's all we can ask for. And, you know, I told him, just keep doing what you're doing, man. Everything you're doing is... it's unbelievable. And the last two games, you know, he just kind of been doing his thing, man. So, you know, proud of him.
The Lakers are proud of him. The Lakers snapped their five-game losing streak last night against the Nuggets. LeBron and AD balled out per usual. And Russ scored 18 points to go along with 8 boards and 8 dimes. Mm-hmm. Back to those Russ triple-double days. Mm-hmm. Ramona, what was your reaction to Russ's performance off the bench again?
If he can play like this off the bench, he's saved his career. I mean, that is a strong statement, but that is how close that felt last week when he was reacting very poorly to coming off to the bench, to the hamstring injury and this feeling of him around the team, of they got to make a change, and if it doesn't, it's got to happen sooner rather than later. It went 3 games before they moved him to the bench. That's quick. But if this didn't work out, if he was not able to embrace this role and play the way they needed him to play, this was going to get ugly fast. And I think if he can embrace this, play this way, and give them what he did the last 2 games, there's a role for him on this team, and there's a role for him in the league.
Richard, we see the chemistry finally building. What did you see from Russ last night?
Well, this is one thing we have to understand, is that the Lakers, the L.A. fans, they understand basketball at an extremely high level. Those cheers partly was because of his performance, but part of those cheers were because, okay, he is willing to do whatever. Because you can do your role, and this is what I was always told. It's not about doing your role. It's about doing your role with enthusiasm. If you commit mm-hmm. to your role with enthusiasm versus like, all right, fine, I'll do it, and I'll go out there, and I'll play just enough, and I'll do just enough, and I'm going to have a certain attitude about me. And I'm not saying that Russ did it, but he showed up, and he said, hey, look, I am willing to do whatever it takes for the team to be successful. His teammates complimented, and the fans, you felt that injury. It's like, we don't care, Russ, if you start, don't start. We just want to know that you are committed to being a Laker and doing whatever the Laker organization needs, and then the fans, they just feed off of that. That's how the love starts to build very, very quickly.
He did it on the court, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that play that you showed there, he went to the basket.
Oh, yeah,
last
true.
Week when everybody was criticizing him
Settle
for the mid-range. That's what Darvin Ham said afterwards. And the one thing I will point out, Darvin Ham and Russell Westbrook had a lot of conversations over the summer where they built up a trust in how they wanted to play. Are you doing, can I trust you? You trust me? The first 3 games, we weren't seeing that on the court, but that's where that trust comes in. If he stuck with Darvin and Darvin stuck with him into these roles and is willing to go to the hoop every time, be aggressive, he adapted.
Yeah.
He did what his coach was asking him to do. And there's a role for you in this league and on the team if you can do
but
that.
But you know what also helps you guys? That the Lakers shot the ball really well. And actually, if you look at the numbers historically, they were really poor, shooting 23% on the year going into this matchup. And I talked to producer Schwartz, and we have a graphic here to show you the difference, the juxtaposition of how the Lakers have shot the ball. But this team, the Lakers, they're number one in the NBA in pace. And when you shoot the ball at this clip, that's going to be a win for you. 121 points versus their typical 100 or so. Shot 48% from the field. Three-point percentage, look at that. They made almost 5 more threes, shooting 43% from three. If you marry that with this idea that you're also fast and Russ that's leaning to your strengths, and he's coming off the bench commanding that second unit, this is the recipe for success for the Los Angeles Lakers.
Well, and it's also defensively. You see defensively, they are one of the top, well, I think five, top three defensive teams by the numbers. And their offense was so anemic. And it's just like, you need a jolt in offense. And so that's what they were able to do. Are they going to be able to shoot 42% every single night?
No.
No, they're not going to be able to do that because they're not constructed that way. But if they pair that with quality shot taking, right shots at the right time with high level defense, and look, Anthony Davis, it was impressive. That was one of the most impressive performances because you spoke at the beginning of the year saying that you wanted to play 82 games. And I'm here to tell everyone in America what that means. If you're going to play 82 games or even in the 80s, even 77, you will play injured. You will play hurt. There's a difference. We've seen Remember the Titans. Are you hurt or are you injured? And last night he was hurting. But if you're going to, there's not a player that has ever played 82 games that hasn't had to play hurt. You're not a player in the league that can play 75 games and not play hurt. So compliment Anthony Davis for doing what he said he was going to do. I'm going to go out there on days where I'm not 100%, on days where I'm 75%, and I'm still going to give you what I have. That is the difference that I think the Lakers fans should be applauding Anthony Davis for.
Yeah, and when I heard him say that he wanted to play 82 games, I'm a player that came into the WNBA season saying that I'm going to play 36 games this year, knowing that I had an injury, quote-unquote, history going in. My intentions were to be available for my team when it mattered most. I ended up playing, I think, about 26 games, but I went in with that mentality, and I think that's exactly what AD is showing. He has these goals, and now he's backing it up by staying in the games that they need to win. Because mind you, y'all,
This was their first win of the season.
I mean, they were the last winless team in the NBA. That is, that's rough. And it felt like they had to win that game. And you felt like they were still invested in it. You see a celebration like that for a coach for his first win. That was them being excited for themselves, but they were really genuinely happy for Darvin Ham.
Yeah.
And I think they all felt like they're still on board. Like you you could see that. There's other teams in the league, 0-5, already starting to drift. The Lakers are still on board right now.
Yeah, and speaking of Anthony Davis, he had 23 points, 15 rebounds. Those are the numbers that we've come to expect.
Hurt. 23 points, 15 rebounds when he was hurting. When he was hurting. Just what I want to highlight. That means that, like, you can give us 23 and 13 when you're hurting. Now, look, if you're injured, don't play injured. But if you're hurting and you can still go out there, because you just got to be strategic with how. If they have a three-day layoff, maybe you sit out one game, take those 3 days. Now it's like, dude, no one's going to hold you to 82, but you got to be more strategic with when you get your rest and allow your body to recover.
Absolutely. They have to be smart, but I do think they realize that the time was now for them to push through because they needed this win. Now it's time to go coast to coast around the association. Let's start with Luka dropping 44 in a win over the Magic. He's the first player to score 30-plus points in each of his first six games of the season since since the 86-87 MJ squad of the Bulls. Ramona, does he need more help, though?
Yeah, I mean, look, teams are just going to scheme for him and do the Giannis defense on him, right? In the regular season, you can get away with this, but in the playoffs, they'll shut you down.
I mean, this guy, is he at the forefront of MVP? I think he might be. Him and Giannis.
Giannis. Let's not disrespect Giannis. And, again, it's way too early. But
I've got Giannis.
Yeah, I watched Luka go against the Nets just a few nights ago, and he does such a great job of scoring for himself, getting other people involved. Like, there is nobody better in this league, but he needs more help. He needs another superstar, and I don't see it coming.
1A Giannis, 1B Luka, maybe?
Yes.
It could flip-flop.
Yes.
Donovan Mitchell joined Wilt Chamberlain as the only players in NBA history to go for 30 in five of their first six games with the team as the Cavs improved to 5-1 by beating the Knicks. Richard, are the Cavs a legit contender in the East?
Yes, they are, and we've been saying it. My guy, K-Love. K-Love was outstanding. Big-time blocks. Big-time steals. Blocks. Charge. It was a charge. You don't get blocked, big fella. But Donovan Mitchell was so impressive. The fact that they are doing this with Darius Garland out shows the depth that the Cavs had. I said that the Cavs have one of the best lineups in the league.
Ooh.
And Donovan Mitchell, you know what I like about Donovan Mitchell? He's making people mad that they didn't trade for him.
Well, that's the team that didn't trade for him. Just wait till that game is in New York.
Saturday, Giannis led the Bucks to their third 5-0 start in franchise history with his fourth straight 30-point game. Richard, should we be giving the Bucks more love?
Yes, we should be giving the Bucks more love. And this is the thing about Giannis. We have now grown accustomed to his greatness. Mm-hmm. And it's so sad to see, because this is ridiculous what our guy is doing. He is the best two-way player in this league. He is probably one of the most forceful players we have seen since Shaquille O'Neal. And every year he gets better. Every year he adds. They are doing this without Chris Middleton. They were doing this without their second best player and playmaker. So, yes, should the East be worried? Yeah, they should be worried.
You should be worried, but let's talk a little bit about the West. The Spurs, they improved to 5-2 with a win over the Timberwolves after sportsbooks expected them to be among the league's worst team this season. This is their best seven-game start since 18-19, which is the last season San Antonio made the playoffs. Now, sticking with San Antonio, Friday night, the Spurs released guard Joshua Primo, the number 12 pick in the 2021 NBA draft, due to multiple alleged incidents of exposing himself to women. In a statement to ESPN, Primo acknowledged a need to continue, quote, mental health treatment more fully. Prior to releasing Primo, the Spurs picked up his third-year option just 2 weeks ago, meaning his contract for next season had already been guaranteed for $4.3 million. ESPN reports that teams around the league remain intrigued by Primo's talent and potential, but are searching for more of a complete understanding of the situation as they weigh the possibility of placing a claim to acquire Primo before he clears waivers and becomes a free agent this afternoon. Still to come, reaction to Kyrie Irving's post-game comments. Our Nets reporter Nick Friedell joins the show with the latest he's hearing from the organization. Plus, the Warriors are off to a slow start. How concerned should we be after two straight losses to the Hornets and the Pistons? Steve Kerr, he sounds off.
He does that.
And we're only minutes away from CJ McCollum and Trey Murphy joining the show. I'm so excited, y'all. They're right here. They're live in studio. NBA Today with Chinee. We'll be right back.
What's...
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Welcome back to NBA Today.
Welcome back to NBA Today. Let's talk about Brooklyn. The Nets lost to the Pacers on Saturday night, dropping their record to 1-5 on the season. That is the worst start through six games for the Nets since starting 0-6 in the 2015-2016 season. Steve Nash called the loss a, quote, disaster. It was their fourth straight loss of the season and led to a players-only meeting. We will get to the Nets' struggles in a bit, but one storyline after Saturday's game was Kyrie Irving speaking to reporters for the first time since he posted about a book and movie called Hebrews to Negroes, Wake Up Black America. The movie released in 2018 quotes Adolf Hitler multiple times and denies the Holocaust existed. After the post, Nets owner Joe Tsai and the NBA released statements condemning Irving's posts. ESPN Nets reporter Nick Friedell asked Irving about his tweet and IG post and if he was promoting anti-Semitism. Here's a portion of Irving's back and forth with Friedell.
To follow up on the promotion of the movie and the book.
Can you please stop calling it a promotion? What am I promoting?
Put it out on your platform.
But I'm promoting it? Do you see me in front of the
title? By putting it out there, people are going to say that you are promoting.
Yeah, I put it out there just like you put things out there, right?
Yeah, but
it's not. You put stuff, things out there for a living, right?
Right, but my great, stuff is
great,
not
so let's move on.
Filled
let's
with
move on.
Anti-Semitic
let's
stuff.
Move on. Don't dehumanize me up here.
I'm not doing
I'm
that.
Another
you're
human
free to
being.
Post
I can
what,
post whatever I want, so say that what, and shut it down and move on to the next question.
But Kyrie, you have to understand that by
I don't have
posting,
to understand anything from you.
But it's
nothing.
Not me.
Nothing.
By
it's no people that you're making
you
up, bro. Move on.
But by posting
move
what
on.
You
next
did,
question.
Anybody
question. Do you guys have any more questions
and
for me?
They're going to say,
you guys have any more questions?
Because
this is
going to
be a
beliefs.
Clip. This is going to be a clip that he's going to marvel at. Is this any more questions?
But you're not answering the question.
It's another answering your question. Oh, my God. Let's make another Instagram clip so we could be famous again. Next question.
We will bring in Nick Friedell shortly, but I want to start with you, Ramona, because at the time of the interaction, Kyrie's tweet was still up. But he did take it down yesterday. Mm-hmm. What caused him to remove the post?
Well, I think that, you know, we'll hear from Kyrie about what exactly caused him to take it down. But I can tell you, Kyrie Irving and his camp have been in constant communication with the Nets organization about this situation and with the Anti-Defamation League, where he's been trying to learn about why people found that film and his post about it so offensive. And so the fact that he's taking some steps to learn about the other side of this and why the reaction to it has been as it has been is interesting to me. And it explains some of why he might have taken the post down. But we need to let him speak for himself, because clearly he had a lot to say when Nick was questioning him.
Thank you so much for your voice on this issue and your perspective, Ramona. I want to bring in the aforementioned Nick Friedell. Nick, the Nets host the Pacers again tonight, and you left shoot around a little while ago. What was the mood around the team today?
Janae, it's what Ramona just referenced, in that everybody is in a holding pattern. This is a waiting game now. The Nets, the NBA, everybody's waiting to see what Kyrie has to say afterwards. I can tell you there are a lot of people in the organization who are still very upset. They want to see how he explains himself further. There are a lot of people in the league office who are waiting to see what happens later. From a basketball standpoint, I talked to Markieff Morris a few hours ago, and he said, we don't have a problem. We're a new team. We're still trying to learn each other. We played some good teams. We just didn't play very hard on Saturday. But that's the issue. And anybody who's watched basketball knows when you start having team meetings before Halloween, that is a really big problem. The Nets understand that. They want to fix that. But guys, this truly to me is one of the biggest seventh games of the regular season in recent NBA history. Because if you lose to the Indiana Pacers twice at home with the schedule that the Nets have coming on the road and the tough teams they'll face in November, this could unravel very quickly on the floor, and it could unravel even further off the floor depending on how Kyrie responds.
Thank you so much for joining us, Nick. As you mentioned, round two of the Pacers-Nets is tonight at 7:30 Eastern. And for more, now, you hear about the Nets and their on-the-court struggles. Earlier in the show, I mentioned this. Let's take a closer look at them. Their defense ranks last in the entire league in efficiency. Opponent made threes per game, also an opponent three-point field goal percentage. All dead last. So as we dive deeper into Brooklyn's struggles, I want to bring in Richard to the conversation because, Richard, you were on the call for Saturday loss to the Pacers. What did you see from your vantage point being there?
I'm glad you asked, Shanae, because I was there watching the game. Not only was I there on, what was it, Saturday? I don't even know what day
it is. You were gone for a week, Richard.
Their defense, we've seen the numbers, right? Like, they have all the talent. I stand by it as the Golden State Warriors and then the Brooklyn Nets with talent. But watch how many corner threes. You can't give up a corner three there. They gave up so many wide open corner threes. Watch, strong side shooter. What are you doing? This is Luka Doncic, strong side shooter. Everyone becomes a great three-point shooter. Watch this again. That's all he can do is shoot corner threes. Catch and shoot, not close enough. Now, next step, we're going to get a little bit closer. Here, strong side. Don't come off strong side shooter. You don't do that. And you can see players talking to each other, right? Like, again, simple stuff. That's not your help there, KD. Now you're giving everyone becomes a great three-point shooter. Now, this is the worst one. This is the worst one. Late game, they're making a comeback. That young fella, Ben Mathurin, we're going to talk about him. That man had 30 points before that shot. And you go for that steal and you give up that three. So when you're talking about that, to me, it is just really a problem. And we're going to look at this shot chart. The Nets defense gave up 23 threes. 23 for 46, 50%. Now, at some point in time, you got to make an adjustment. If they're giving threes, and I talked about the reason why that Ben Mathurin three was so bad was because he had been cooking. You're not leaving a non-shooter and you're going for a mistake. Even in that one, Kevin Durant, and they're looking around at each other like, hey, what do we need to do? This team has all of the talent to be one of the best teams in the NBA. They have all the talent to win a championship, but the commitment to defense has to be there because they have all the offensive firepower.
And I think in our pre-show call, you mentioned about Kevin Durant, his defense is important because they're playing small ball when it comes to the five, and so him being versatile defensively. But if you think about the overall perspective with KD and where this franchise is, what do you think is going through his mind?
I mean, he wanted a trade this summer. That was not that long ago. And he wanted a trade because he didn't believe in the team that he had around him and said, I have a limited window to win in the NBA. It's 34 years old. You don't have that much longer. If he doesn't believe in this team, you're not seeing the full Kevin Durant. He's still scoring 30 points a game. He's still so talented. He can score. But in terms of engagement, the higher level that he can bring to a game, I don't think you're seeing the full KD being engaged in the way that he needs to be for this team to win. And some of that is just frustration. It's frustration. You can see it in the defense that the rest of the team is playing and the way he's closing on a defense. You can see it in all that.
The only thing I'm going to say about this is because I watched them. Like, they are doing some things well, but not enough. And again, some of the mistakes are at crucial times, like leaving Ben there in that moment to go for that gamble. They've already hit 19 threes against you. And then to credit to the Indiana Pacers, they were moving the ball ridiculous. So this next game against Indiana,
Ben Simmons had downgraded to questionable tonight with a knee injury.
Right. Yeah, it's going to get more difficult for them, but we'll see what happens. It's still early. But coming up on NBA Today, fresh off of their win against the Clippers last night, CJ McCollum, Prez, and Trey Murphy joined the show. They're here. I'm so excited. They tell us why the Pelicans are ready to contend. But the Warriors are off to a slow start this season. Hear what Coach Steve Kerr had to say about their two disappointing losses to the Hornets and the Pistons. And you know what day it is? It's Halloween, so we celebrate with the most spooktacular, that's producer Greg, plays of the season so far. Keep it locked. NBA Today is just getting started.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Are you ready? Can we ready? Are you ready? Can we ready? Put your head down and get it. What you waiting for? Nothing easy, nothing free. You gotta get your kick. Are you ready? Can we ready? Are you ready? Can we ready? It's time to make a big play. Yeah. Yeah. It's time to put a play. Ready, 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 ready.
As you saw right there, C.J. McCollum and Trey Murphy III have been balling this season. And guess what, Richard?
What?
They're here with us in the building in studio today.
What?
Let's go.
I kind of mess with my guy C.J., but this young fella,
okay,
Trey,
that's a suit, but like an athleisure. Suit, but make it athleisure.
That's nice, bro. Where
hey, Trey.
Get that? Is that on Amazon?
Nice and comfy.
Love
that's
it.
Nice.
This is Prez, y'all. We go way back. He's doing some real work. Now, before we get to yesterday's game versus the Clippers, let's talk about y'all's strong start to the season. 4-2 out of the gate. So, CJ, what has been the key to success so far?
I think it's the work over the summer. I think a lot of our younger players have worked in their game and continue to develop and are taking advantage of more opportunities. We've been very injured to start this season. Haven't had a lot of the same guys in lineups each night, but I think Willie and our PD staff have done a great job of developing, and you got to credit our front office. You got to credit Griff. You got to credit Trajan. Credit everyone for putting this roster together.
And also, Trey, I did some number crunching, and you are shooting the second best percentage from three outside of guys.
Look at him trying not to smile.
I know. second best percentage from three for guys who have shot a minimum of 25. Okay. Fireball. How have you been able to, you know, really show this growth in your game?
Really, just my, you know, work in the summer, and my vets giving me a lot of confidence. You know, CJ. He brought me to a workout in New York, and he was just telling me how he has really big expectations for me this year. And, you know, I just want to live up to those, especially for my, you know, guy like CJ. And I appreciate him giving me the ball and our coaches as well.
I sort of went a little viral because I was so high on your team early. I made this analogy to Coffee Bean and CJ.
Oh, man.
Just really, CJ really being the transformative piece for the squad. What does CJ bring in particular? I know it's awkward because he's 2 feet away from you,
it's
but what
awkward.
What leadership
does he bring? Make eye contact. I want you to make eye contact when you're talking.
He's not here right now.
Make eye contact with him.
No, so like basically, definitely CJ brings a lot off the court. I would say that's one of the biggest things, especially. He's super professional, and, you know, he helps me become a better young man.
Look at CJ. I was going to say, you're trying not to smile.
Hey, I also hope I get some more early easy passes because of that. But, you know, he brings a lot on the court as well, prolific scorer. And, you know, defenses have to honor him. And, you know, it helps me a lot because they have to help.
You know what's so awesome about that is I was forced, like, blink twice if he forced you to say that. Okay,
that's once.
Okay, no. But CJ, I want to compliment you. As long as I've known you, as long as you've been in this league, you have been a pro. Even when you were, you know, you came in after your junior year.
No, I did the full bid.
Four years. Yeah, but you know, my guy Ryan had you out there at Lehigh just doing your thing, right? Mm-hmm. Right. So like, I want to know this: was there a difference for your maturity level because you came for 4 years and then you stepped onto, an organization and you were able to be more of a leader in that space?
Absolutely. I think going to school for 4 years taught me how to run a team. It taught me how to lead, but it also taught me how to follow. Mm-hmm. I had to go through the rigors of being a freshman carrying the net bags, you know, mm-hmm. taking ice baths and trash cans. And then I got to the point where I was a leader and a team captain and had to be kind of a liaison for the staff and kind of be the pulse of the team. And then you go to the NBA and obviously your role goes back to the beginning where you're carrying bags again, delivering coffee and that type of stuff. But I think I have a greater appreciation of every role because I've played a lot of different roles. I've been a DMP guy. I've been a guy who shows up and is a practice player. I've been a guy who comes off the bench. I've been a starter. I've hit big shots. I've kind of gone through each phase of what it's like to be a basketball player. And I think my perspective is different because I know what it's like to work and not have an opportunity to play. And I know what it's like to get an opportunity to play. And I think I carry that in our locker room. And then just the professional side of understanding how the business is ran, but also how the basketball side is ran and how to keep our guys in the league for longer.
Literally handling CBA negotiations as we speak, multitasker. And I know you guys saw the wardrobe change.
Yeah.
This is so that we could get to highlights of your win last night. So here we go.
Where's the bald cap? If you're gonna be me, just wear a bald cap.
Okay, you guys, you can talk us through these possessions because how important has Zion been, especially on the floor in the paint for you guys?
Yeah, he's virtually unstoppable. He gets to that left hand whenever he feels like it. He's strong.
Puzzle.
Finish around the basket, gets to the free throw line, keeps us in the bonus early. Look at Trey running.
Okay.
Showtime.
Extension.
Okay.
Extension.
I don't just shoot threes. I get to the cup too.
Okay. And also, how is it, you know, having an offense where Zion may bring it up, you might bring it up, Trey, you might bring it up. Trey, what's your perspective on that?
Really, just, you know, we have a lot of guys on our team. A lot of guys are very skillful, and, you know, our coach gives us a lot of freedom, and he wants us to, you know, play really free.
Range, CJ, Splash.
Bang, bang. Haven't hit a lot of threes this year. I was happy to see that one go down.
But we'll discuss that.
Speaking of Splash, look at that extension. Isn't it nice that you don't have to run a play for him? You can just read the defense?
That's not reading a defense. That's throwing it up to the top of the square.
I mean, you have to have eye contact in those passes. Trey, I think you're going to like this right here.
Yeah, that's nice. You said early easy. I was a little late on that one, but you still have to
Trey, the only way you get those type of highlights is if you come in the building. I just want to let you know.
No, that's not true.
You come in the building, yes, it is. We show OGs. We show him. We show Zion. We show Brandon. Young players, you got to come in the building. Say what's up. We'll get you up on that.
Okay, well, since you're young, let's stretch them legs, okay? Because I want to see how you guys break down these plays. It's very rare that we get NBA guys in studio. So we've got a couple of plays teed up for you guys.
Okay.
Can you show us what makes you and your offense so effective?
I think it's the combination of things that Trey talked about. It's the freedom, first and foremost. We have freedom to do a lot of different things. Here you see Z initiating the offense. Me trying to set a screen. I'm looking. His guy's in the paint. Trey's there. Automatic DHO. Big's in a drop. Trey turns the corner. This is the development phase, right? Being able to not just score but pass. Obviously, Z 100% at the rim. He's not missing those.
Yeah. All right, what's the next play?
Next play. Oh, I got one.
Oh, we got Larry in here.
I got one. Larry sets the step up. Shout out to my guy, Larry. Get the switch. I love this matchup. He's going to force me right because I like to go left. So I set him up with the left hand. Get your hands off. Ooh. Spin the freedom. Get to the elbow. Raise up.
And did they know that this was your play because everyone was on the weak side? I'm just
every
cooking.
Play is live for me. But I think in this situation, I had got a nice switch right here. Early, easy. The nail guy's not there. I could have drove the lane. We also got the screen on the backside. But you go to the shooter here. He knocks it down. I think for us, it's just about space and making plays, trying to get into the paint. And when you get matchups that you like, you have to take advantage. And I had a couple matchups that I liked last night.
Absolutely.
Oh, all right. That's saying it politely. How about you, Trey? When you see CJ, you know, cooking from the perimeter, how do you stay ready to knock down those threes? Because, again, I said you're shooting the second best percentage in the NBA.
Just got to keep your hands ready. You know, the ball can come at any time. And, you know, a lot of guys, they, you know, they're helping off of me sometimes, and I have a split second to make a decision. And just always keep my hands ready for a pass from CJ.
How about this? Are you ready? Can you show
They're not going to leave off of you
Enjoy it.
He's on a scatter report.
CJ, Trey, what are you when you're talking about keeping your hands ready, because CJ, you have so much freedom, and also your ball handling is impressive. What do you mean by that? Can you show us?
I'm literally just spotting up. And so say he's in the wing
you
over there.
Give me this.
I know referees don't never guard, but like right here, I'm in help position.
Wait, let me start the play.
Oh, that's not how a play starts. Okay, coach. Let's go.
Well, no, he's going to be doing his dance in the wing area, and I'm going to be in the slot. And most defenses, they try to, you know, protect the paint. So I'm going to be here having my hands ready.
And so he starts to make his move.
And for me, it's driving at the defender make a decision. So I'm driving at you, making you make a decision. And his range is extendo clip. Like, he can shoot from very, very far out, and he gets his reps in practice, and we trust him, we're confident in him. And it's just about trying to deliver a good pass. Sometimes you throw a bad pass and he still makes it, but we want to create closeouts. And in this situation, I'm driving you. If you don't help, I'm getting to my goods. But if you do help, I'm able to just make that easy pass, and that's an easy assist for me or an easy catch go.
Yeah, and you also, again, we know what you're shooting for three, but you're busy to put the ball on the floor and finish. So this is what people don't understand.
Right here,
I'm helping. Even if I help well enough to get that pass, even if I run you off the line because you are shooting the ball extremely well, the next thing you do, what do you do?
I'm going straight to the rim.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You going to shoot it? You going to let it fly?
I mean, I could dunk it if you really want me to.
I mean, I don't know.
Let me call it.
He's not going to speak to the work that he's put in, but you can see the transformation and the confidence. I think it's really about the work, you know, working out late at night, getting your extra reps. I caught him in the gym on a late night, the night before a game, getting reps in. It was just me and him in the gym. Okay. You can tell there's a reason why. There's a reason why he's successful. There's a reason why.
Get I love it. And there's a reason why I called you guys having a great season before anybody else. Okay, Kathy Bean, Kathy Bean. Okay. Now, coming up, as you guys see, I'm in my referee attire, not Richard Jefferson, I'm myself. It's Halloween and spooky hours. Is the NBA haunted? Maybe. We put Zach Lowe on the case after the break. Don't miss it. By the way, we just had a dunk in studio. Let's go.
We had a dunk.
That's pretty special. I can't lie.
You dunked in the ESPN studio.
The Halloween vibes yesterday, but how in the world am I the only person dressed up? You seriously, Richard, where are you?
Right,
you seriously couldn't dress up? I'm inspired by you.
Oh, hey. Oh, yeah. Well, you're not wearing a bald cap, so I didn't really.
You're right.
Well,
that's
like,
true.
My costume came with that.
But wait, our producers are telling us that we have a special guest today. Should we take a look? Halloween.
Zach! Zach, are you Cookie Monster?
Zach Lowe, our amazing
Cookie
ESPN
Monster.
NBA senior insider. Who are you? It's Grumpy Zach or Oscar the Grouch?
Oh, yeah. Cookie Monster's blue.
Why are you Zach?
Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah. Obviously, I'm very grouchy. It's not a stretch for me.
No, it's not.
This is very much on brand. And to stay on the Halloween theme, what if the NBA was haunted, narrated by our very own Oscar the Grouch?
God, our Grouch. We have the best Grouch.
What?
What is he doing, folks?
Devin Booker has unleashed forces that he does not understand.
The angel of death has arrived.
Your computer might burst into flames. Do we care about transition defense? You can't wish away the chaos.
A major mishap just occurred.
He's coming for everybody. And I'm just going to end with a plea.
Not again. No.
Oh, you guys have your nice little drama. Hey, hi, we're over here. That's all I got to say about that.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my Lord.
So Zach, is the NBA really haunted?
You're going to hit me on Halloween with the king cake baby and Tom Thibodeau laughing? Like, do you want me to have extra nightmares on Halloween? That's what's in that piece? Oh, my God.
Well,
the raptor, the inflatable raptor eating people? Oh.
I have to sit next to Richard Jefferson every day. That's a nightmare in itself. We're in Halloween. Fair. I love you, Richard. Let's have some fun because it's trick-or-treat season. So what is your biggest trick this season, Zach?
Trick has got to be Jose Alvarado's patented crouching in the corner, hide-and-seek backcourt steals where he literally hides in the corner of the court hoping nobody sees. Oh, no! There he is! Like a Halloween villain popping out of nowhere. He's playing hide and seek in a basketball game. If that is not an NBA trick, I don't know what is. Like, here he comes again. Look out, Tyrese Maxey. People are going to start copying this. It works so well. And my treat my treat. Let's just give Devin Booker a little bit of love for my treat on Halloween, because the Suns are 5-1. Everybody kind of wrote them off. And Devin Booker is averaging almost 30 a game, shooting lights out from almost everywhere. So that's my treat of the year. The Suns, very quietly, no one's really talking about them because it was all DeAndre Ayton drama, what happened in Game 7, the Robert Sarver stuff. Devin Booker has them off to a really good start, and it looks like they're just going to win a ton of regular season games again. So give the Suns some love. Devin Booker's my treat on Halloween. And it's very hot inside Oscar the Grouch.
Devin Booker has absolutely been a treat this season. Before we go, what's the best actual Halloween treat, guys? I'm a Skittles girl.
Skittles? Almond Joy.
Ugh.
Almond Joy? Zach, what's
Bad
your take?
Choices.
What's your take, Zach?
Twix.
Oh.
Twix or Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Take your pick. They're both really good.
I'm not mad at it, and I love seeing Zach the Grouch. You're cute. It's awesome. Still to come on NBA Today. What's going on with the Warriors? Should we be concerned with their slow start to the season? We're still going to discuss the reigning champs next on NBA Today.
Welcome back to NBA Today.
This week's NBA Wednesday doubleheader starts in Cleveland at 7:30 Eastern with the Celtics taking on the Cavs. Then the Blazers host the Grizzlies. Our coverage tips off with NBA Countdown at 7 on ESPN and the app. All right, let's check in with the defending champ Steph Curry and the Warriors taking on the Detroit Pistons. Klay Thompson was out with rest. Third quarter, Warriors down 9. Check this out. Curry drives, gets into the paint to the rim, but instead flips the other direction. Jaden Ivey takes advantage of the poor Warriors defense. Pistons up by 11 with definition right there. Fourth quarter, Pistons up big. Ivey again from the ground. Look at that. Hits Sadiq Bey, who drills a triple. Pistons would defeat the Warriors. Steve Kerr took the podium after their loss.
The way we're playing is affecting our defense. I think it looks like a pickup game out there. So we have to get out and play with a purpose and play with some grit. And until we do, then we're going to be experiencing games like this where just never quite get the traction you need to build momentum.
As you see right there, Steve Kerr was a little spicy coming off the Warriors' second straight loss and third on the road. And now we welcome in Anscape's Mark Spears. Mark, to you, what has been the biggest reason for the slow start from the defending champs?
Ooh, Sinead, how much time you got? Let's start with their defense. The Warriors have the second worst defense in the NBA by a hair. Just a hair to the Brooklyn Nets. They're allowing 122 points per game. They're also fouling a lot. Their transition defense is bad. They've allowed 125 plus points four times this season. The bench rotation is also in question. They had two-way guys playing yesterday in Ty Jerome and Anthony Lamb. Dante DiVincenzo still out. Klay Thompson, as you mentioned, missed it with rest. He's still working on his conditioning. James Wiseman is up and down. They lack ball movement. Poole said they need more urgency. The spotlight is on the champs, so they got to come with a sense of urgency. So let's hope for the Warriors, Sinead, that they went out to Club Live last night, got their Miami Beach out of their way, saw Kodak Black, and then are not going to trick-or-treat in Miami Beach today and be ready for that game against Miami tomorrow, because they'll certainly be ready for them, because that was the Warriors' last win.
And before we let you go, really briefly, after their latest loss, Draymond Green said, quote, "I think our offense is killing our defense. In order to be great, those two ends have to connect." What do you think he meant by that?
Well, I mean, if you see how bad their defense is, that's certainly part of the transition defense from offense is part of that. But look, Klay has been out. DiVincenzo's out. The bench is messed up, and I think that's hurting their offense.
Well, thank you so much, Mark. We will keep our eyes on the defending champs. We know that they will likely rebound pretty soon. NBA Today will be right back after the break. Tuesday, our ESPN Hockey Night doubleheader starts in Pittsburgh with the Penguins hosting the Bruins at 8 Eastern. Then the Ducks square off against their rival Sharks. Both games are also available on the ESPN app. All right. right, y'all, we've got to keep the scary thing going with the very special top of the top spooktacular edition. Was that corny? Was that cute? It's Halloween.
It's all right.
It's all right. I'm so happy to have you both here, but let's check these out. CJ, what are we watching?
May I have this dance? Twee, hezzy.
Take a time.
Step back, hands.
Okay, can make him dance?
Yeah. I should have dunked it.
Yeah.
Was that a little spectacular?
I don't know if that's in our repertoire anymore. Can you still dunk?
I can still dunk.
Okay.
On occasion, when necessary. Let's check out Luka. Luka's been super impressive. What about this pass? What did you think when you saw this, Trey?
I saw a lot of action. I was like, wow, like, what makes you think they do that? You know, honestly, but it was pretty nice. I can't lie.
Would you have caught that, Richard?
I would have dunked it personally. Right now, yeah, see, he didn't catch it clean.
Ooh.
Like, you gotta catch that clean and dunk it.
It's
right?
hard
like,
to be able to tough. Read that type of pass, right, CJ?
Yeah, it was hot too. It was a little high, so your hand-eye coordination gotta be there.
God, we're being
okay, how about this? Top levitation. Yeah.
Ooh.
Giannis with the left.
I feel like him and John Collins are gonna meet quite a few times at the rim, but
he's
you know,
a robot.
Lefty.
Has he ever won our like upper room Vince? I don't think he has.
I don't know, but you're taking off the wrong leg, left hand
with the left extension
above the score.
Go gadget left arm.
Yeah. I'm not contesting that one. Could you go get it?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. You hear that, Giannis? You said he could go get it.
How about this? This is a top chase. Spooktacular edition.
Ooh. He has some nasty chase down blocks.
Goodness gracious.
I don't think I've ever seen a guard. Like, yeah. I know LeBron.
He hits his head.
But is there any guard that his height that gets chased down blocks? I don't think I've ever seen him.
He hits his head. John?
Did he hit his head?
John Wall, you're right.
John Wall.
John Wall,
thank you. Thank you. I was just
close to it.
Welcome back, John Wall.
Okay, how about this? Top unexplainable.
Oh
yeah.
Wow, that's new right there.
How do we explain that contest?
Get the offensive rebound.
You know what it is? That's like when you play the game and you push the wrong button. when you play it live and you push the wrong button, watch it, it's like, oh no, like what are my guys doing?
I was watching the broadcast and they said that he was practicing from the corners, trying to block the view of the rim, but I don't think it worked.
Well, they didn't make any of the shots, so.
I think it's the effort that really counts.
Are you going to start incorporating that into your defense?
I don't think I can jump high enough that quickly to cover the viewpoint. That's more of a Trey Murphy thing.
But you guys are doing a lot of things really well. Congratulations to CJ and Trey for joining us here on NBA Today. Y'all are hooping.
Thank you.
We had the dunk. What more to expect for Halloween? Do we have any costumes in your family?
I'm not even sure what little man's going to wear, but I'm looking forward to his first Halloween.
Okay, no outfits for you, I'm assuming.
No. Actually, I do have one,
What is it? Spill it to you. We don't have much time.
Day-Day from Day-Day. Detroit.
That's a good